Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So notice, man was formed first, not woman. So right there, I don't know, that just kind of tells me something. God didn't put woman on the scene first. He put man here first. And look, though, it's just so interesting, the word in the Hebrew, and the Lord God formed man. I want to tell you what that word formed means in Hebrew. He formed man. This is what he did. To mold into a form, especially as a potter. To mold into a form, especially as a potter. This is how God, this is how man became. God formed him. He molded him into a form, especially as a potter. To be created, he created him. It refers to God's creative activity. And boy, God really was creative when he created man, wasn't he? He had a lot of creative activity. He created man. He formed man. Let's go to verse 20. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." I will make him a helper. What does helper mean? Helper. It's a helpmate, someone to help. Comparable, not inferior to him, not superior to him, comparable to him. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to the beasts of the field. But Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So he basically, God put Adam to sleep. He opened him up. He took a rib out. And then he closed him back up and he left. All right, I got what I need. And he left. And then he went. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. Let's look what the word made means. Made. It's not formed. Made. In the Hebrew, it means to build. To build. To establish. But I love that word built. So women, we have been built to last. God didn't just mold us and form us. Man, he built us. So this Hebrew word rendered made, here we're talking about when the woman was made, that Hebrew word rendered made is built. And then I looked it up, the meaning of that word, it's implying extraordinary skill. And I love to say, implying extraordinary skill or care and taste in the plan and proportions of the structure. Don't you? This is God. He built us. That Hebrew word rendered is built, and it's implying extraordinary skill. He needed that to build woman. He just formed man. But he built us. Extraordinary skill and care and taste. Come on, God had taste when he built you. In the plan and proportions of the structure. So the rib he took from Adam, he built into woman. He took that rib, and from there he built woman. Praise God. So for we need to understand, we came about differently than man right at the beginning. And it was all a part of God's plan. Man was formed. We've been built. And so I looked up that word build just in the dictionary. To construct, especially something complex. Hello. To construct, especially something complex by assembling and joining parts and materials. Would we describe maybe women as being a bit complex? Sometimes women think, oh, men, they're easy. They're just so easy to read, you know. But men, women, you know, they're complex. A synonym for the word build is sculpture. I liked that. And it made me think of this scripture in Psalm 144, 12. You don't have to turn there. But that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. So as we get into how incredible a woman is, which, I mean, we all could have said, oh, yes, women is incredible. I mean, we would have all agreed to that when we walked in here, right? We're incredible. Come on, you know you are. As we get into how incredible a woman is, we do not want to think that we are superior to men. And that is a beyond huge epidemic in our world today. We are called to compliment one another. And this isn't just about husband and wife. This is just even man and woman in life. We're called to compliment one another, not to be superior. And on the same side, not to be inferior, right? We're comparable. So we're called to compliment one another, not to criticize one another. And women, so many times, they feel like, because they want to feel like they're, you know, they're the boss, they're a big wig, you know, girl boss. It's big these days, all over TJ Maxx, those little girl boss things. And that was in my notes later, but we're touching on it now. I remember when I first saw that, and I'm just being totally honest and candid with you. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, I like that. I want to get that for my desk. And then I thought, I don't have a desk. But then I thought, well, when I get one, I could have it when I finally have one. So I was like, girl boss, I like that. And then, but immediately it was, but when I thought girl boss, it's like, what does that do to you? What does it do to you? It just kind of does this. It just kind of raises you up. And I don't want to raise myself up. I want to be humble. Pride goes before a fall. And, you know, words like, you know, girl boss and things like, hey, best at you, babe, girl boss. But you just don't forget who's your boss. You're not the big boss. Or at least you ought not to be the big boss. God's the big boss. And hey, great, you're a girl boss. Praise God. You can be a Christian girl boss and showing other women, worldly women, how it's done. Amen. So there you have my take on girl boss. But see, the world, I'm telling you though, like I said, when I thought, ooh, I like that, you know, and it just I kind of went like, I was like, no. God's my boss. But who knows, you like that feeling of, because we're created that way. We are on this earth, not just men, women too, we are on this earth to rule and to reign in this life. Not just when we get over to heaven, we have been called, we, not just men, women too, we have been called to rule and to reign. And that's why you like that girl boss name. And it's okay. But in perspective, but he's my boss. He's my boss, I'm a girl boss, and as I'm a girl boss, I'm being a godly example. I'm not being a worldly example. I'm being a godly example. Amen. And I believe we got some of those in here today. Praise God forever. A good girl boss. Because they know God's their boss. So we're called to compliment one another. We're not superior, not inferior. We're called to compliment, not to criticize. So women, yeah, that's what I was saying. So sometimes, you know, women, or just even women to women, who knows, when you find yourself criticizing someone, it's because you're wanting, you are lifting yourself up. You're wanting to make yourself feel you are more important. You've got it more together than them. I mean, step back, babe. Think twice. We all got our issues. Amen. You know, but when you go to criticize someone, it's just like as if... You're an idiot, and I'm like, I'm just perfect, right? We don't want to criticize. We want to compliment, amen, and lift each other up, not criticize, trying to tear each other and push each other down. And remember, women, I'm just to the wives here. I mean, he is not to be helping you. And I'm sorry, but I know sometimes women don't like to think, well, I've got a full-time job too. Well, praise God, but the two of you get together and you talk it out. But the way, you know, and he can help with the dishes and he can help with those things. But, you know, sometimes I've heard and seen of women, you know, their job is being the housewife. And praise God for that. You're able to do that and be the mom. Well, don't expect your husband to, you know, he's got to be cleaning up. That's what you're doing. You know, and sometimes women, they just, but see, we're in a world where it's just so, it's twisted and demented. So all I'm saying is, be the best woman that God has created you to be. And concerning a wife, be the best wife. And you, if you're a wife, you are a helper. You're not inferior and you're not superior. You're comparable. But there's different jobs for different roles. And listen, been there, done that. I mean, of course, this is many years ago. But I mean, I know what it feels like to be a woman. I am one. I know what it feels like to be a new wife. I was one. You know, I know what it feels like to be a wife after 5 years and 7 years and 10 years. And what we're going on 25 years. So, I mean, I've been in this a little while. I know what it feels like. I've gone through the stages myself. But I'm telling you, ladies, submission always brings victory. It just does. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 through 12, I'm just going to read that here. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of a woman, nor a woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man comes through woman. But all things are from God. So here it's basically saying, hey, a woman can't say, I don't need a man. I mean, have you not heard women say that? I don't need a man. I'm sorry, you needed a man. You needed your first father, Adam. You needed him. And you also needed your natural father. So you need our spiritual father. We needed our natural father. You need man. You needed your father to get here. But so women, they just, this whole women's lib thing, and we'll get into that, you know. But it's like, you know, I don't need a man. Well, you forgot that you did need a man. And you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for man. Hello. I know, it's good stuff, nonetheless. So woman is a very complex creation. We found that out, right? He didn't just form us, that Hebrew word, he made us, he built us. And to build means to construct, especially something complex. So say, I'm complex. I am complex. He has created us. We are a very complex creation. There was a lot involved in making us. So, but have you heard it said women are so complicated, right? Wives, has your husband said that? Or just women in general, just in the world. Women are so complicated. Has anyone ever heard that, right? Well, I'm done with hearing that. No, women are not so complicated. Women are what? Complex. Being created complex does not give us an excuse to be complicated. Don't use being complex as an excuse that you're complicated. They're two different things, okay? And I'm gonna show you. But really, even before we get into that, you can see an illustration is really just even, it's basically walking in the flesh or walking carnal or spiritual. It's walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. So complex, that's the way God made us. Who knows? He's not gonna make something that isn't right. He made us spiritual. So that's complex. So the complex part, that's the spiritual part. So complicated, that's carnal. If you're complicated, just know that it's carnal. And I think it's easier to hear from a woman than a man's up here. Hey, ladies, if you're complicated, you're carnal. Wouldn't you rather me be up here telling you that? Because I'm with you in the same boat, babe. We're in the same boat together. And I'm trying to help get us to the other side. Is anybody coming with me? Lord, let's not get stuck in the middle. Let's not get stuck out there. We're going to the other side. We might see some of this in ourselves, and we can laugh, but that laughing is going to help to cause us to change and to not let it stay the same. I'm telling you, I mean, I got pumped. I don't know if you can tell by now, but I am just pumped about this, not just for you, but for me too. You think, well, Pastor Jean, you're not perfect. I know. You thought I was, but I'm not. I'm still working on things. But I'm telling you, I'm pumped when you hear these things about women. I'm pumped that I'm not going to just laugh about it. And there's a few other funnies, and we'll laugh. It's okay to laugh. But let's have that laugh cause us to make a change. Too many times we've just laughed at things. Oh, women are complicated. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Meanwhile, you're totally insulting yourself. That's like you're laughing at yourself. You're settling for being complicated. I'm not going to settle for carnality. I'm going on, amen? And I know you are too. That's why you're here. God brought you. Woo! So we're liking it to be walking in the flesh or being carnal or walking in the Spirit. So being created complex does not give us an excuse to be complicated. So the word complicated, as if we have to go there, we'll just take a few minutes. Complicated, what does it mean? Hard to understand. Hard to understand. And we'll just stop right there. I heard a new book came out. Can you show us a slide? I got a picture of the new book that just came out. The book Understanding Women has finally arrived in bookstores. It's a long read. Thank you. Hard to understand. But again, look, we're laughing, and it's okay. Laughing, it's refreshing. And in a way, we're almost kind of laughing at ourselves because we see that in ourselves, possibly. But at the same time, as we're laughing, God's dealing with us, and he's helping us to grow and to realize, hey, this is not the way I want to be known. What else does complicated mean? Difficult. Have you ever been told you're difficult? Well, difficult, that's complicated. That's not a part of being complex. See, because complex is spiritual. God made you that way, complex. Complicated is carnal, hormonal, well, moody, temperamental. So I'm not downplaying hormones. I'm not having a teaching on, you know, how to balance your hormones and things like that. There's much truth to hormones and that whole thing in the bowel, but this is not what this message is about, okay? But I'm touching on it. Don't let it make you touchy. Just because I'm touching on it. What about this? You know, have you ever been in a situation and, you know, you're just your hormones, you know, you're PMSing, you're whatever you're doing, right? And you're like, I don't know what's wrong, right? You don't know, or I don't know what I want. I don't, you know, has, you know, there's someone's trying to, well, what is it? I don't know what I want. Can we have that slide, please? Sometimes understanding what a woman wants is very difficult. It's like trying to figure out what color the letter 7 smells like. I don't know what I want. But listen, we're laughing because we know, most of us anyway in this room, you've been there. I have felt that way. Have you? You have felt that way. You're like, what's going on with me? And what happens? We can pretty much, we say it's the hormones. It's hormonal. I'm going through changes. We're not saying that's not true. Naturally, that is what's going on with you probably, right? But so spiritually, we need to stand on our guard. It's not supposed to be that hard. So when we look at things carnally, what's going to happen? We're going to be carnal. But if we look at things spiritually and in the Spirit and looking to the Spirit for answers and help, we're going to get it. So when we're like that, just understand the next time you're like that, if you're ever like that again, just think, I'm being carnal. I'm being carnal. And what is that? I'm being fleshy. And you know, the greatest liberty comes when you can just be truthful with yourself. Yeah. Be truthful with yourself. When you know you're fleshy and you know you're being carnal, just be truthful. And then it can help change. God can help change you. But if you're not willing to admit it to yourself, how in the world can God help you? Amen. But God helps the one who cries out for help. God helps the one who says, Lord, I need help. He'll help you. So we talk about, you know, and there is naturally, there's truth about, you know, balancing the hormones, right? But that's just a carnal way of looking and fixing a problem. Why don't we come over here and endeavor focusing so much on balancing our hormones, although we can do things for that and great, but over here, let's just balance our life. Balancing your life, your spiritual life, what does it look like? What does it sound like? Where is it? Where are you with God? Where are you with fellowshipping with him? You know, we're going to try naturally to try and fix ourselves and, you know, become hormonally balanced. Meanwhile, spiritually, we're way out of whack. We're way out of balance. But I don't want to focus so much on my flesh where I you see? So I believe the Lord is really helping us today, ladies. I'm telling you, I couldn't wait to get here to help you. So yes, we can do things about endeavoring to balance your hormones, but even more important, balancing your life. Balancing your life. What is it? Is it so much of this, you know, and not much of God? Where is it? Things need to be balanced in order for you to work right. Just like in our body naturally, hormones need to be balanced for us to work right. Well, spiritually, how much more important is that? Things need to be balanced so we can walk right. Actually, being complicated is a perversion of being complex. That happened to Eve. We're going to look at that. They're going to put it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. And I could get off on this, and I'm not going to, but just a little something here. I was just getting that more as I was in Genesis 2. It was not the man who was deceived. It was Eve. It was the one who was supposed to be his helper. Now, I'm not saying man was perfect. You know, Eve was not twisting his arm to take of that apple too. But we got to realize the woman, Eve, was the first one to be deceived. She was deceived. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ, or we could say in the spirit. Spiritually, things are simple. When we're all natural and carnal and in the flesh, the more you're in the flesh, the more complicated things are. The more you're in the spirit, the more simple things will become. Doesn't mean that there's not hard things to be done, but it's simple when you're in the spirit because you got the helper, the Holy One. Being complicated, or we could just say walking in the flesh, makes you contentious. Anybody hear the word contentious before? Who knows? I mean, I think there's a scripture or two, maybe at least one in the Bible that talks about a man being contentious. But mostly, if anyone knows the word a bit around here, there's a lot of scriptures about women being contentious. And why is that? Probably because women are more contentious than men, generally speaking. And ladies, I want that to change. And with us, it can change. Make the change, be the change, show the change, help them to change. Proverbs 21:9. We're not going to turn here. They're going to put them up on the screen. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop. Oh, that sounds really comfortable and cozy. Than in a house shared with a contentious woman. It's better for that man to go and dwell. That means to live, like don't leave. To dwell, to stay, to remain in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. If a contentious woman is there, he don't want to be there. Has anybody seen that? Has anybody been that? You think, oh, well, you don't know. They did, da, da, da. If you had a problem, it was because you had a problem. It's not because they had a problem. I'm just telling you how it is. It's good stuff. We've learned this from our pastor here at Life of Faith. If you have a problem, it's because they had a problem, right? No. If you had a problem, it's because you have a problem. And we're too busy. Come on, ladies. I know. I've been there. I've done it. I've repented and I've changed and I'm growing. But if I have a problem, it's not because he has a problem. Although he might have a problem. But that's between him and God. I've got enough to deal with. Does anybody have enough to deal with? It's like, take care of your... I mean, it's so funny. Women want to just help their husband with all their problems. You know, baby, you got plenty of your own. I mean, just get the plank out of your own eye, and then you can help get the speck out of their eye. But we're just so focused on helping them with their problem. Why is that? Carnal, fleshy. That's not us. We've been built to last. We are not complicated and fleshy. We are what? Complex. We're spiritual. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is good. Proverbs 21:19. Better to dwell in the wilderness. The wilderness? Better to dwell in the wilderness. We're not talking about the corner of a housetop. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. New Living Translation says it this way. It is better to live alone in the desert than with a crabby, complaining wife. And now listen, we're laughing because we know it's true. And maybe in our personal life, you've seen that with you. Maybe you were that way. God's helped you. Maybe you still are that way. But we don't want it to stay that way. And for those that, you know, haven't really entered into these things, you can be learning now so it doesn't have to be that way. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. A man, a husband is not to be sharing a house with a contentious, angry woman. Crabby, complaining wife. Remember, we're called to complement one another. You're not superior to him. You're not inferior to him. You are comparable to him. You're not to criticize. You're called to help him, not to criticize him. Amen. And listen, we're talking about, you know, husbands and wives here, but what about even men and women in general? I mean, this world, I mean, it's everywhere, commercials, sitcoms, all these kind of things. And not that I watch them, I do not. Because see, I don't know. I mean, sometimes people really don't like when you talk about this, but hey, baby, I'm going to talk about it because it sets me free. And if you want to be free, there's just some things you can't watch on TV. You got to determine, I want to be free. I'm not going to be carnal looking like these people that I see. You're becoming what you're beholding. You're going to become what you're listening to. You're going to become what you're watching. And what you're watching is going to let you think you can look like that. You can talk like that. You can be like that. And if it doesn't line up with the word, to me, forget it. I want nothing to do with it. I'm going to be a woman of the word. And I will continue to be bold. Because I really know it sets you free. And I know it's really a help to get you out of such carnality. You stay watching carnal things, you're going to stay there. You're going to remain there. You might want to come out, but you're not able to because you keep seeing things and hearing things that are wrong and they don't line up to God's word and they're not the image that portrays what a woman is to be. And all on the TV, they're downgrading men. Like they look, even, you know, commercials, like men are complete idiots. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like the woman is this like perfect, great person like that has just knows everything. She's the brain. She's the girl boss. And like the man is just a complete idiot. It is demonic. It is demonic. So I'm not going to partake of something that's demonic, trying to get a message over to me that men are an idiot. Because then that's how I'm going to live. That's how I'm going to be. Not going to be me by the grace of God. Amen. I'm watching what I see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious wife, woman, are alike. I want to read it in the New Living Translation. A nagging wife is as annoying as the constant dripping on a rainy day. Trying to stop her complaints is like trying to stop the wind. Or hold something with greased hands. Think about that. Have you ever tried to stop the wind? Wind blow, try to stop it? I mean, you can't. Holding something, your hands are all greased up. You're trying to hold something. You can't do it. It's going to slip right through. And that's they're comparing. They're comparing that. Trying to stop her complaints. And that's why men sometimes in general, it's like they run. They run for the hills. They run for the corner top of the housetop. Why is that? They're doing the word. I'm sorry, they're doing the word, girls. Come on. Because there's no stopping. And again, I'm talking to you as a woman, and I've been through these things too. If there was help for me, there's help for you. God gave the woman submission to help keep her from being contentious. This is not a teaching on submission either. We're not going to go in it, but just touching on that. You know, submission, what does it mean? Basically to yield. And there's so much wrong religious laws concerning what submission is and all of that, and we're not getting into that. But I will tell you, submission, it's simply yielding. Somebody's got to be the boss. Somebody's got to be the head honcho. Somebody's got to be the one with the last word. Just like here at a church. being submissive even to our pastor as we're submitting our lives unto God. You know, we are to submit ourselves to the man that holds the plan in this place. Why is that? Because otherwise, everyone, because who knows, we're all different people. You know, we have different opinions, different outlooks and things. And sometimes, but somebody's got to be the one, okay, this is what we're going to do. Yeah, thank you for all the great ideas and the wisdom, you know, and he gets those things, you know. But then when it comes down to it, you know, there needs to be a decision made. And that's the head of the house. That's the head of the house here. And, you know, if your wife, husband, it doesn't mean that you were made so inferior and he's so superior. No, you are his helpmate, called to help him. He's not here to help you. I know women just kind of don't like that, and it's a tilt. It doesn't say that man was called to help woman. It says that woman was called. The only reason God created woman was because man needed something. We're not superior, we're not inferior, we're comparable. But we know how God made it in his word, and we are to be the helper. He's not to help me, I'm to help him. And who knows, you reap what you sow. But first you got to do what you know. So God gave this woman submission. So that's going to help us from being contentious. Because who knows, contentious, that's like arguing and strife and bickering, and you get into all this complaining. And well, if you would just submit. It's to yield. What does that mean when we're to yield? You know, when with traffic, I'm picturing, you know, when you're getting onto an interstate, you're kind of getting off and you're ready to get on. And this traffic's been going. That traffic was there on that highway, right? Adam was here before me, right? I mean, Adam was before Eve. Adam was here. He was booking along that expressway, right? And then here I come. What's supposed to happen as I'm kind of getting on? I'm supposed to speed up. I'm not supposed to slow down and become inferior. I'm not supposed to speed up and be superior. I'm supposed to come along and be comparable, but I'm to yield. So what does that mean? They go, and then I just kind of come on in alongside of them. You think, he doesn't know how to drive. Honestly, it's just so disrespectful. And it hurts me when I hear women say, and sometimes I want to say it, but I know it's just, it's like casting your pearls before swine right there, and I ain't going to do it. But sometimes there's a window of opportunity, and I can say something or share something. But we don't want to be speaking down against man in general. You know, they're idiots. I mean, even yesterday, I was somewhere, and the woman, I forget what happened. I mean, just up out of her mouth. I mean, it was just like, it just flowed right out. It's like, well, yeah, you know how men are. And I had a little confrontation with her about it. It was good. It turned out good, but I wasn't going to, what do you mean? It's like, my man's not like that. All men are not like that. Got to speak up. So to yield, Adam came first, then Eve. She was the helper, not the criticizer. Hallelujah. But guess what? It takes a strong spiritual woman to submit. People think, you can't submit. You find it hard to submit. You're spiritually weak. And you need to get stronger. And you can get stronger by feeding on the word of God. Amen. Meek is not weak. Meek is not weak. Being a strong spiritual woman, that's what it takes to be a submitted woman. And a submitted woman is not a complicated woman. A submitted woman is a very complex woman, but not complicated. Amen? Complex, it's just basically, it means not easy to analyze or understand. That's who we are. Not easy to analyze or understand, right? But it's not complicated. See, complicated is fleshy. This is spiritual, not easy to analyze. And I know the Bible, I'm thinking of it now, the Bible talks about, you know, it's hard to read basically a spiritual person. Very natural, carnal, fleshly person. It's all over their face. It's hard to read a spiritual person. So we need to now take what God has done. We've been built to last, okay? We've been built to last. Now we need to take what God has done, and we need to build our life on the word of God. So I've been built to last, but if I'm going to last, I need to build my life now on the word of God. You've been built to last. I've been built to last. But the only way we're going to last is now our part, what we need to do, and our part is to build our life on the words of truth, on the word of God. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him, this is Jesus talking, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. I'm going to put woman in there. Liken him, her, to a wise woman who built her house on the rock. So I've got my house. I've been built. Now, where am I going to build? Where am I going to put my house? On the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish woman who built her house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Listen to me, the only difference, it was the same wind that blew, it was the same rain that fell, and it was the same flood that came. The houses were the same. The only thing that was different was where the house was built. People sometimes think, well, you know, they have all these, things against me, you know, of what happened or whatever, you know. Everyone's got their stuff. Everyone's got stuff. It all looks different, sounds different, was different, but the bottom line is everyone's got stuff where we can all come up with excuses. But the bottom line is here, whether you're going to stand or fall isn't about what happened back there after all. What matters is where you are building your house now, whether you're going to stand or you're going to fall. It was the same wind. It was the same flood. It was the same rain. It was the same house. It's not like, oh, well, that was just a little house and this one they really built. No, it was all the same. The only difference was where they were built. And you think about it truly. I know a lot of you were at the beach recently. Bless your hearts. But you were at the beach. So on the sand, picture it, going out there, building it. I mean, just going at, just picture yourself going out there and just, there's the sand, building a house on that. The wind's going to come. And notice, it came to both houses too. The wind blew. The flood came. The rain, it poured on both houses. Sometimes people think, well, why is all this happening to me? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not where you're supposed to be. But the only way you're going to stand, now ladies, we've been built to last, but the only way we're going to last is whether we keep our stand on the word of God, on his plan, on his word, on the truth of God, on the word of God, not on what the world says. Though this world is as sinking sand. But oh, it's got a devilish evil plan trying to get you to downgrade and concerning man. Thank you, Lord, for truth setting us free today. So the only difference was where that house was built. So I've been built to last, but now it matters where I build my life so that I will last. Amen. We had nothing to do with how we were built, but we have everything to do with where we are being built. The rock versus the sand. Or we can also liken that. It's like, it's the word of God or the world. The word or the world. What are you building your life on? The world's philosophies concerning a woman and who she is and she's supposed to be wearing the pants and I want to say get your pants off, but I don't want to say that either. But where are we building what God has built? Where are we building what God has built? Where are you building? Are you on the rock or are you on the sand? Stay with what the word says about a woman and don't be swayed by what the world says about woman. The world has a lot to say about woman, but we need to stay with the word. What does the world say? Like what I just said here, you know, what does the world say about woman? Generally speaking, here's a few. Oh, you know, the woman wear the pants. Now, is that complimenting to a woman? I mean, I'm sorry, you know, so, but when you're really a spiritual woman, that is an absolute discredit, and that is not a compliment to me. As a spiritual woman, oh, the woman wears the pants. No, I don't want to wear the pants. And like we went into before, we won't go again. Just, you know, what does the world say, you know, about the woman and then about men? They're idiots, the sitcoms, the commercials, you know, and it just makes women feel that much more superior, you know. And you think about it too, and then it makes men almost come inferior. And it's like, who's, it's like when you're in your right place, there is such a grace that comes upon you. So you think, why are things not working out? Why is it like this? Well, stop looking over there. Look to yourself and think, am I in place? Am I in my right place? I'm not looking where he is. Where am I? Am I in my right place? Because if I am in my right place, there is grace. It doesn't mean things won't hard try to happen and things, but there's grace. Who knows? We wouldn't need grace in our place if things weren't going to come at us and try and get in our face. But we've got grace for the place. Grace in our place as a woman, as a spiritual woman of God, a complex woman, not a complicated woman. Another one, like we said, girl boss, you know, just remember God's your boss. Here's another one, the world says, you know, if you've got it, flaunt it. I mean, I'm so over that, you know, cover it. You'll never see me exposed. The way I dress, I mean, I am who I am, and you're not going to see a lot of leg. You're not going to see a lot of chest. You know, you're just not going to see a lot because it's not for other people to see. So again, I mean, it's modesty, you know, but see, people think, well, you know, they're in such competition with each other. Women are in such competition with each other. They think, well, I got to show something to show I am something. I got something. Who in the world cares what you got? I'd rather know who are you? I don't care if you got the goods. I don't care if you've got the goods physically. Whoopee-doo-dah. Do you have the good spiritually? Because that's what's going to last. And that's what's going to help influence other women and help bring them over to eternity with you. Do you want to be we all are influencing people. How are you influencing them? I want to influence them with the word of God, what the word says about a woman, how she should dress, how she should be. I want it to be a display of God's glory, of what a woman's supposed to look like. Amen. And that's what we were all created to be. And I'm telling you, some of you are doing it just beautifully. Here's another one. The woman is the thermostat in the house. I mean, we've said that. I've laughed at that. I don't know how many times, you know. The woman's the thermostat, you know. If mommy ain't happy, nobody's happy, right? Is that a compliment to us? I mean, that's carnal, and it's funny, and we can laugh. And why is that? Because we kind of know it's a little true. But should it be? Are we going to settle for that? Listen, ladies, I guess I'm just getting to the point where I don't want to settle for this stuff anymore. So I feel like the Holy Ghost is just one of meddling with this stuff that we've been settling with too long. He's just meddling. So we won't be found settling. No, that's not what a woman of God sounds like. That's not what a woman of God dresses like. That's not how a woman of God displays herself. That's not how a woman of God acts. Look at me. This is how. You got to have that boldness about you. Growing up in God, he's called you to be an example. But being that thermostat, who knows? That it's fleshy, it's carnal, it's complicated. But we want to be changing as we're laughing, right? Isn't that what we said? So basically, ladies, what I'm getting at here is, in closing, is basically I want to start a new movement today. It's a movement. Anybody going to move with me?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's a revolution. And it'll help get rid of all that confusion because it's a revelation. You've heard of women's liberation, right? I heard the Holy Ghost this morning as I was sitting there. I just got this morning. So, you know, you've heard of women's lib, right? Women's liberation movement, what that was all about. But I want to start a new movement today, a women's revelation movement. Yeah. Not a woman's liberation movement, a women's revelation movement. So this morning, God, I believe by the Holy Ghost, has been meddling with a lot of things concerning women and the world, how we're portrayed, and we've just been settling. We're starting a women's revelation movement. Because listen, really, being a doer of the word of God, remember we've been built to last, but now where we're building our life, that is up to us, right? And we're to be found, like we said, building on the rock, building on the word of God. But notice, you know, when you read that again later, where did that parable come from? He was comparing a doer of the word with just a hearer only. That's what all that was about. He was saying someone that goes out on that sand and just builds a house, that is someone who's hearing the word and not doing it. And he likened them to someone as stupid and dumb and foolish as someone going out on the sand and building a house. That's what it looks like to be a hearer of the word and not a doer. But then, what did he liken a house? All those, and it still came to that house, right? The winds blew, the stuff happened. We're in this world, tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That same stuff came to that same kind of house, but he was built on the rock. Didn't move him. It didn't move him. So being a doer is being one that is building on the rock. And that's who we are. Being a doer is liberation. Because who knows? The Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. This word is full of liberty. It is a liberating word. It is not a constricting, binding word. That you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. That's what Jesus, the truth, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Praise God. Being a doer of the word is liberation. It's liberation. It brings liberation. So getting revelation is your liberation. So we don't need a women's liberation movement. We just need a woman's revelation movement. And it's going to bring liberation, but it's going to bring the godly right liberation. Not this worldly, carnal liberation like, you know, they want their own rights and, you know, I'm just as good as you are. You know, just all this carnal, cruddy, junky, wonky stuff. But a woman's revelation movement, we're getting a revelation of who we are. We've been built. We weren't just formed. You know, we were built. It's just, it's time for a new movement because it's revelation of the word of God. It's when you really start to see who you are, and what you've been created to be. And that sets you free. Not carnal liberty. We're talking spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation movement. We're not part of that liberation movement. We're a part of the revelation movement because we know that's when true liberty comes, is when we receive revelation from you, Holy One. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.